The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
So, Eric Rice of EricRice.com, what are you hoping to gain from this test flight?
And Audioblog.com.
Oh, yeah, you're from there, too. I forgot about that.
Well, actually, it'll be fun to see. I would absolutely use Wi-Fi on a plane, and I don't do a lot of international travel yet, so... You know, I want to see what Phil Terone is sitting next to me is going to be doing, honestly. We have the X and Gadget section over here.
So wait a minute, are you guys going to be like uploading like massive amounts of like video and audio so that no one else can enjoy the Wi-Fi, as it were?
Well, I'm not saying that. Actually, let me defer to Phil.
Yes, Phil, are you going to be doing anything interesting with the Wi-Fi?
What was the question?
Are you going to be doing anything interesting with the Wi-Fi?
What else is there to do? Absolutely, I'm going to be doing interesting things with the Wi-Fi. Things that you shouldn't do.
So is Boeing going to... Wait, are you going to crash us?
You have to be careful with that term that you just used. No. The answer is no.
I'm assuming everybody can hear me. We're just about ready to take off, so if we could have everyone please take a seat. We'll go ahead and get things going. First of all, I'd like to welcome everybody aboard Connection One. Some of you I know, some very old familiar faces and some new faces. I'm Terrence Scott. I'm a member of the Connection by Boeing Communications team. And I'll kind of be one of your co-hosts for this evening. You're cruising on a Boeing 737-400 aircraft used as a flying test bed and laboratory. And we're going to start off the program by getting everybody buckled in. We'll give you a quick safety briefing surrounding the parameters of this aircraft. And just keep us in good stead with the FAA authorities. After that, after we take off, we're going to take you guys on a nice little scenic tour of Mount Rainier. Shortly thereafter, I'd like to introduce my colleague, who will be our executive host for this evening, and we'll say a few words and then get you guys up and surfing and doing whatever it is you care to do online. So sit back, please turn off your cell phones and other electronic devices if you would, and I'm going to turn it over to our flight attendant who will walk us through the safety briefing. We'll be back in touch in just a little bit.
Hey, welcome to Connection One. I'm glad you're here on our test airplane. I think you'll find the Connection service as exciting as those of us that work it. I think it's the most exciting business unit in the Boeing company, and that's saying a lot. Boeing's got a lot of exciting programs. A little closer? Okay, how's that? We've been in operation now for about 14 months, commercial operation for 14 months. We've got 12 airlines that are... 11 of them have been announced so far. We've got 70 equipped aircraft. We should be at about 100 by the end of the year. And over 100 cities that we're servicing today. So you're getting a taste of a very exciting part of a new service industry that the Boeing company is supporting. One of the things that is so attractive to our service from an airline standpoint is that we're really providing an ability for the consumer, the airline passenger, to manage their environment. They don't just have to read or sleep anymore. They can do so much more when they're connected. And as we live our lives in this new environment of interconnectivity, to be gone for 10 hours, be out of touch for 10 or 12 hours, is a pretty traumatic thing for a lot of us. And we're providing an ability for people to manage that, to make a choice. From an airline standpoint, that not only we can help the consumer, the airline passenger, but we're also helping the airline with their operational services to connect the airline back with their operations center. We're providing a big pipe, we like to say, a large bandwidth connection, both for the consumer and for the airline operations. And you'll get a taste of an airline operations phone, one of the services that we're going to be rolling out for the airline. Over the next hours. The other thing that value that we can provide for the airline is that, as you'll see, we'll provide a wireless connectivity, just like internet hotspots. That reduces the weight that the airline has to wire their cabin, which translates directly into drag and operating costs for the airline. So that's a service that we've pushed 802.11 capability here over the last 14 months, and that's an achievement that we're very proud of, is to get global approval of 802.11 wireless capability in airline cabins. Another thing that you'll experience and you'll see as you log on is we have agreements with over 16, I think there'll be 16 on the webpage that you'll see, 17 now, associate service providers. So we're providing the consumer with a lot of different ways to log on and register and pay their very small service fee that you'll see. As part of the travel ribbon, you can be logging on with your T-Mobile account or NTT Docomo account, and so you never have to pay us directly. We have an agreement with these associate service providers, 17 so far, and more every month. Our team is rolling out a couple every month. In addition to that, we're working out, I think we've got over 600 corporate agreements. Those are discount agreements with big companies like Siemens or BMW or World Bank, Boeing, obviously. And that provides a capability for corporations to have travelers. Oh, we're going past. Thank you for that. Paul's giving us one more flyby.
What is that?
Mount Adams.
This is Mount Adams. Well, that's a... Thank you, Paul, for that distraction. That was exciting. So those corporate agreements and the associate service providers are all ways to make it easier for the consumer to log on, to have a simple billing scheme, and just make it easier to connect. Tomorrow, one of our most exciting near-term milestones is rolling out a worldwide TV service. And Singapore is our first airline, and they're going to have the official rollout on Wednesday, tomorrow, Singapore time. Right now, what we are doing is providing four channels of live TV, not pre-recorded, streamed over our connection, over our pipe, and that's BBC, MSNBC, Euro News, everywhere but the U.S., and Eurosport News. So that's an exciting new service that we're going to be providing. We're a mobile internet service provider, and so we have to continually refresh and update the service offering that we have. Being in the service business, as many of you know, requires a constant refresh, and you're only as good as the last 6 or 8 months of service you provided to stay ahead of the competition. And so that's part of our plan, part of our whole culture, is to continually update our services and capabilities. We're looking at a variety of new functions that we bring on board and features. And so the latest one, again, is tomorrow with our new four channels of live TV that's going worldwide. I think we really hope that you enjoy this time that we have together this afternoon. I'll be available for any questions as we go through the cabin. We're going to demonstrate both the TV that you'll see when you open your laptops, as well as the airline operations phone that we'll be bringing around to you to experience yourself. So if you got any questions, get a hold of me or Terrence or any one of our staff. And I think you wanted to say something too.
Thanks to you guys. Very quickly, I'm Steve Brobeck, founder of the Blog Business Summit. I want to thank both Byron and I. I want to thank Boeing for providing our speakers this opportunity, and also a big thank you. You guys have become great sponsors and supporters of the upcoming San Francisco event, so just really appreciate everything you're doing to help spread the word. Thank you.
All right, it's time to surf. One little addendum to what Tim said. Once we get you guys logged in, you will be the first journalists in the United States to have an opportunity to preview our live television service. You will have the ability to see the four channels that will become available on Singapore, airlines starting tomorrow. So while we're hugging our pillows tonight, they will be rolling that service out on select Singapore Airlines flights. So we're glad you guys are here with us and taking advantage of that opportunity. The other thing, just to add real quick, we are going to show you a little bit of voice, what we call private voice, which is an application for the airlines to use. They can communicate with their operations centers, you know, if the flight crew needs to talk to someone on the ground or if someone needs to call into our customer care center relative to the connection by Boeing service, they can do so. One other little quick note on voice. This aircraft has a PicoCell installed on it, and although you will not be able to use that particular aspect of our service, one of the things we are testing using this aircraft is the ability to use PicoCell technology to allow eventually the market and consumers to use their mobile phones on board commercial aircraft. While that capability, the technology is available today, there are still some regulatory hurdles to overcome. There also are the in-cabin social issues, and I think you'll get a good feel for that as you have an opportunity to use a noise-canceling headset and see some of those social issues being mitigated. So glad to talk to you guys about that and what we're doing in the area of voice. But for now, we want to get you up and surfing. Walt is coming around with cards that have user IDs and passwords on them for each of you to log into the Connection by Boeing portal. Those passwords and usernames are case sensitive, so enter them exactly as they appear on the card, and that'll get you connected to the network, and then happy blogging, surfing, video casting, whatever, and let us know if you have any questions, okay? Thank you.
So Steve Brobeck, now what was your reasoning for putting together this whole soiree at 30,000 feet?
Well, some of the folks from Boeing had attended the Blog Business Conference in Seattle in January, and they contacted us and said, you know, we're interested in this community of bloggers is one that's in our is a key customer segment, because obviously they want to be online a lot. They're fully geekified, and so we want to, and plus they're influential. So they said, we want to connect more with them. And I said, well, shoot, guys, you need to get them up in that demo plane of yours. And because I host the Blog Business Summit, and I've got a bunch of the speakers that are big-time bloggers, I said, let's sort of join forces here. I'll get the bloggers there, you get the plane, and let's do it. And what was interesting is they had already had something like this in their plans. So they didn't need any selling. They said, oh, yeah, no, it's good. And we did it. And so we worked with them for several months to get all the details and the timing scheduled. And the original plan was just to get up and fly around and then land. And I said, no. We got to go somewhere. we got to land and at least step outside the plane. So we're heading over to Walla Walla for a little short jaunt.
Now, why Walla Walla?
Well, it's close by, and also I know that both Robert Scoble and I we love Walla Walla wine, so shoot, stop over in Walla Walla and check it out. So.
Well, I wonder if the original name of the town was just Wall, but there was so much wine there that it came out Walla Walla, because no one could really say Wall without Walla Walla.
Well, that could be.
So we're going to have a whole bunch of drunk bloggers on the way home at 30,000 feet on the bandwidth.
No. It's not going to be like that. We're just going to sit down and taste a little and then pack it up and head back. They have a little bite to eat. So, no, this isn't going to be a... We have to remain true to the intent of this flight that we're doing a nice technology demo here. And
so are there going to be, blogger passes available online at all these travel sites here relatively soon?
Well, I don't know. I think anybody, any organization that has a high-tech product that wants to communicate their benefits to a large community, I think, well, and you know this better than anyone, you want to spread the word, you talk to the bloggers. And, well, that first conference of ours, we did no traditional marketing, no brochures, no direct mail, no ads, nothing, no press releases. We only talked to bloggers. They spread the word. And we got, 130 people there. So that, at least that was my first experiment with, you know, blogger promotion, and it, for my eyes, was a huge success. So I think, I assume you would agree that if you've got a tech product and you want to spread the word, talk to the bloggers.
Just tech products, though? Don't you think it would, transcend the idea of technology?
Yeah, it is now. You have hit the nail on the head, because as you've got bloggers writing on a variety of topics that don't have to deal with tech at all, and they're becoming influencers and influential. So I think the smart companies are targeting the bloggers for their arena. It just happens to be, I think it's safe to say most bloggers at this point are heavily into writing about tech.
Well, largely because you have to be technically proficient or astute in order to even, begin blogging. I mean, regardless of the many services that are easy to set up and get going, you need to understand that this is what a blog is and this is what can it do for you. Where do you see the position of the Blog Business Summit in all of that, and how businesses are looking at blogs to promote their brand or just kind of extend their presence and engage in a dialogue that wasn't there before?
Well, in 1995, I started organizing the first business conferences surrounding the Internet.
Under what brand?
That was my old company, Thunder Lizard Productions. We hosted web design, web advertising, web marketing events in the mid-90s. And at that time, a lot of people said, well, gee, the web, that's about physics papers. You know, okay, that you could do that for business too. But we saw that there was more to it than physics papers. And I'm seeing the same thing now. What's interesting about blogs is not the content. I mean, well, there's a lot of interesting content, but what's truly interesting to business should be the architecture. It is a great platform for delivering your web content. So, in a nutshell, my one sentence explanation to people that don't really understand it is: for businesses, blogs can be a better website for you.
So, do you think there are a whole bunch of flight stewards or pilots out there who are blogging?
A bunch of pilots that are blogging? Some now, and no doubt, I mean, in the next 5 years, I think you're going to have a plethora of pilots and aviation people blogging about what they do.
Yeah, but that's kind of scary. You know, we've got a Wi-Fi-enabled plane. Are the pilots doing anything?
Oh, yeah, you don't want them blogging from the cockpit.
And speaking of cockpit, I mean, what if anybody around here is, looking at illicit websites? Is there any blocking going on, some net-nanny stuff on the firewall?
Oh, I've been looking over shoulders. I haven't seen anything interesting yet, but, you know, they're logging all that back in the servers, I'm sure. I bet they're gonna look at those later. So,
oh, so they probably have my username and password for email since I was just using a regular POP3 connection.
Well, I know that all my, you know, I'm not a network admin guy, but I know that in any network you're on, the administrators can see where you're going. But I don't think keystroke logging is that's not an assumption I'm making.
Well, just the packets going back and forth, you could sniff it. And I think PT is scaring everybody because he used the word crash earlier. And when you use crash and plane, I don't know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got to watch your tech dialogue up here.
So can I go up and interview the pilots?
You know, that's up to the Boeing folks.
So who's the Boeing folk to ask? Is the guy in the green shirt or the guy in the blue shirt? The green shirt guy or the blue shirt guy?
Blue shirt guy's good.
Who's the blue shirt guy?
That's Terrence. There's a bunch of the big Boeing kahunas here. I know a few of them, but there are a few that I haven't met yet. But I can hook you up with it. Also Shannon. Shannon Fowler is my main contact. She's great. She can probably get you up in the cockpit.
Really? So I don't know if I see Shannon. They didn't want us back in the server room. And this is a huge, massive servers back there. Like, why? Why are they even there? Do you know?
Boy, you know.
I'm just here to fly and to drink the wine and walla walla.
I am not a true geek on that. All, you know, once you get me beyond the browser, I'm
useless.
I know I can do it.
Well, you put this together. Good on you.
You know, I can do HTML and JavaScript. That's about as far as I take my geekiness.
But you haven't done anything exciting with the connection?
With connection?
Up here. You haven't done anything online yet?
No, because I want to make sure there's... I'm here to schmooze about the event.
Ah, I see. So this is a marketing ploy. All right. So wait, is Boeing sponsoring the Blog Business Summit in any way?
Oh yeah, Boeing is a platinum sponsor of the Blog Business Summit, and plus they've already taken me. I've already come out to the plane months ago to test out the service because that was integral. I said, well, before we take people up, I want to see it in action and make sure it's good. And so we, D.L. Byron and I, spent a couple hours out here. So I've done it, and so yeah. But it's one of my goals is to spread the word about the Blog Business Summit and to plus I've got a little carpal tunnel, so I've done enough keyboarding for one day.
Gotcha. So, well, thanks, Steve.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Do we have a windscreen? We do have a windscreen. Okay, that's good. So, Buzz, how was the flight?
The flight was spectacular. I think it's just going to change forever how people travel, do business in the air, and things like that. Everything I did worked perfectly. I talked to Jeremy Wagstaff of the Wall Street Journal in Hong Kong, and I'm looking forward to getting online with Cameron Riley when we get back up there. I hope he'll be online. So it's just spectacular technology, first class all around.
Now, are you saying that because they paid for your ticket?
No. I'd pay to go out and do something like this. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, you do it again?
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, again, what this, the, you know, as you and I both know, the kind of visibility that occurs from just blogging, from people seeing blogs and seeing real people writing and doing these things and experiencing it who really don't have any skin in the game, who aren't writing for pay, you know, who aren't being influenced by anything other than cool technology. I think that's the most important piece.
Sounds good. Well, we're definitely going to be flying home, too. Now, Larry? Hi, I'm recording on the tarmac.
Let's go, Chris. It's hot out here.
Oh, it's very hot, especially for those of us.
The tar on the tarmac is melting.
Oh, that's tar. Oh, my, it
that's
is.
That's why they call it a tarmac.
I think I see Scoble sinking in. I thought he was looking short today.
God, unbelievable. What did you think of the flight?
I thought it was really nice to be able to open up a laptop and get online. Well, what about you?
I thought it was amazing. I did an IM session with my wife. We did a voice chat via MSN Messenger. I did a blog posting. It's great.
Now, Larry, you have a certain role at Xbox.
People know me as Major Nelson. You can see me at majornelson.com.
So if I see you on Halo 2, then I know to avoid you or actually run towards you if you're no good.
You want to come to me and be on my team.
Oh, okay. So you have a few spots open on your team.
For you, I will, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't know if I'd really invite me to do that because I'm not exactly known as the frag king around.
Right. We need someone to attract bullets from the other team.
Oh, well, I do that very well.
So good. Happy to have you.
So now, what do you do with Xbox?
So I am the director of programming for Xbox Live. So I sit in the product group, and all the programmings and events that we do on Xbox Live, that's kind of what I do. I work on that. So it's not programming like programming a computer, like coding like a developer, but it's programming like events and concepts and whatnot.
You didn't bring your Xbox with you, did you?
No, I wanted to, and I told them we need to do that for the next flight. They said, well, this first flight, let's just make sure we can connect. So before we start getting fancy.
So are you going to do like an Xbox test flight here at some point?
Yeah, you are you in?
Oh, I'm so in.
Because you saw they got a plasma screen on board.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
So we got to do that, but absolutely, I definitely want to bring my Xbox up. Hopefully the latency, because it goes up to the satellite and goes down and yada, yada, yada. So we've got to work on that.
Were you doing anything online beyond just the chatting?
Yeah, I posted some stuff on my blog. I got a bunch of video when we were doing the buzz over Mount Rainier. I'm going to encode that to Windows Media and throw that up on my blog on the way back.
Now, where is your blog located?
MajorNelson.com.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good name, then. Are you the only Major Nelson online?
Hell yeah. No, that's where I sit, Major Nelson. There's a band like in somewhere in the East that has the Major Nelson and the Screaming Genies, but I'm the only Major Nelson. That's my gamer tag. So that's what people know me as on Xbox Live. That's how. What's your gamer tag?
I don't have one yet. I'm afraid.
What?
Let me explain. If I get sucked into things, like, right. Real easy, and right. Gaming is one of them.
Right.
So to keep myself from getting sucked in, I try to stay offline as much as possible when it comes to gaming.
Well,
so
I need to get you a gamer tag.
Oh, boy. So I'm going to get a gamer tag? Well, Locker Gnome is usually the handle that I go by.
All right, we'll get you. We'll see if Locker Gnome, we can get you on Locker Gnome.
Oh, my gosh. So what does that entitle me to, then, getting a gamer tag? Will I be Xbox 360 ready?
Hell yes. You'll be right there at the when you pull your Xbox 360 out of the box this holiday season, you're going to be ready to go.
Oh, so no, wait, what's going to be new, I mean, in terms of getting this Xbox Live subscription? I mean,
so basically what's new is we're going to have the ability to, you'll be able to match up with people and play with them that are similar to your playing style.
Oh, really? All the ones who suck?
Yeah, exactly. So all the ones that aren't very good, they kind of go over here, and we're going to have a rating system so people will rate you. You say, I like playing this guy, I don't like. So it's going to be a much better matching service. So that's one thing.
we're also going to be able to see your achievements. So when you go online, I can pull you up on my friends list and say, wow, Locker Gnome really hasn't done anything in Halo 2 or whatever that, you know, whatever the game is. I can really kick his ass in that. So you'll be able to see how your achievements are tracking to my achievements and so forth.
It sounds like I'm going to need more time to spend with you and talk about these things, especially as we get closer to the launch.
You want to get the Xbox 360. That's all you want.
No, actually, I mean, believe me, I'm fine with the Xbox right now, but I really can't wait to see the media capabilities of the Xbox 360s, or 360 beyond the gaming aspects.
Oh, sure. I mean, we've got this whole ability now. When you drop it into your home network, assume you got a Windows machine someplace in your Windows XP machine, you'll be able to share your music, your photos. If you got a Windows Media Center, then the experience becomes much, much richer. Not only that, but you'll be able to plug in various portable devices and play, like, for instance, music or photos right off of them.
Including the iPod, the PSP, non-Microsoft products.
Why not?
No, it's just, it's fantastic.
You're gonna I've actually was doing that this morning. I plugged my iPod in, saw my music up there, was listening to your podcast, and it worked great.
So wait, that wasn't your stepson then who posted those illicit photos?
I have no kids, no stepkids. That was,
right. So you've disavowed having any family.
Right. And if I have a stepson, he's not gonna look like that.
So has this been swiftly dealt with then in the Microsoft Xbox camp?
As far as I know, I really, other than what was the photos I saw, I really don't know anything else. So it's just.
Well, it's not that. It was just like a kid playing with a gaming system. It wasn't that exciting.
Yeah, it wasn't really that exciting.
It was cool to see.
It was cool to see. Well, I'll have you over to my office and you'll see even more.
I'm all for that.
All right, man.
All right. Well, I think are we heading on the bus yet to get into some air? Oh, people are heading on the bus to get some air conditioning. So, right,
looks like the local paper is about to corner you.
Uh-oh.
The Penny Times.
Yeah, because, like, the whole town of Walla Walla came out to greet us. Did you notice?
It was really, I think if we had come here during the school year, they would have given school the day off to have the kids come down.
Well, this must be big news. I mean, this airplane has got, looks like, six or five wheels. So I don't know if that's more than they get normally at this airport.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but lined up directly over there is nothing but crop dusters.
Did you notice the crop circles as we were flying in?
That was kind of scary. In fact, this felt like an entire episode out of The X-Files.
Totally, dude.
We gotta get on.
We gotta get on because we're just baking. What's happening here?
Explain the satellite.
Yeah, or explaining the satellite? There's a satellite on that thing.
There is.
What does it do?
It gets you the stuff you need.
That's the perfect explanation. That's all the explanation we need. That's all the explanation anybody needs. What else do you need to know about a satellite?
Totally.
So now, what is your role in all this?
I have lots of roles, really.
Name one.
Making sure that you guys have everything that you need.
There wasn't enough champagne on the flight. Oh, I'm kidding.
On the way back, you'll be set.
I'm kidding, of course. And we're off to see a winery?
We are. This famous winery in Walla Walla, Washington. Have you been to Walla Walla before?
No, this would be my first flight to Walla Walla. Probably my last.
It's an experience. This is the hotbed of wine country.
Literally, hotbed.
It's going to become the new Napa Valley.
And what makes you say that?
That's what I read about. There's a New York Times article, actually, recently on this winery, like just a few weeks ago. I'll send it to you.
So, Linda. Yes. Linda Mills, right? Who is your official affiliation? Who do you work for?
I work for Wagner Edstrom. Public Relations Agency for Connection by Boeing.
And you know Sue Schmitz?
I do. I sit next to Sue.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Does she ever tell you any of those roller derby stories when she comes back to the office on Monday?
Of course. Well, I actually get to see photos. We're going to go to her next rally. So.
You're going to take pictures?
I'll send you pictures.
I have never been to a derby, a roller derby.
They fight.
Like real fighting.
They fight.
No, she's got a tattoo that goes all the way up her arm. I'm kind of scared.
You don't mess with Sue. It's like the known thing at the office.
So is she like real big in terms of at Wag Ed?
She's like shorter than me.
No, I mean big in terms of stature. The hell, bigger, dude. I'm shorter than you. No, I mean in terms of like she seems to be pretty involved when it comes to blogging and some of these newer types of things when it comes to PR.
Everybody goes to her.
The go-to, is that an official part of her title now?
No, it's just. I think the agency is trying to have everybody do blogging, so they're not making it a title or a practice group. It's just something everybody should be aware of, and she's kind of our in-house expert right now.
How's that going?
Great.
That's good. Well, I'm having fun. I don't know how Wag Ed plays into the whole thing, but I loved your explanation of the satellite. I hope no one tells me anything more. Keeps it simple. Well, people don't care as long as it works. Right?
Right.
Did you even play online?
I did. I IM'd with Sue, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
She was on IM. You didn't talk at all? I mean, other than typing.
No, I just typed.
That's kind of boring.
I know. I should have had the microphones and the cameras like you and been all...
Well, I was kind of surprised. You've got a good mix between traditional journalists and, well, not.
Right.
Oh, here we go. We're hitting the bus. Now we're officially hitting the bus. What's that?
How's the bus going?
The bus? Oh, the bus has just been amazing. There's no connectivity here, though.
No, well, they're going to be debuting a new modem service on the bus where we actually plug in our phones and dial up.
So do you still have any, like, modems on your machines?
I do. There's some neat things that you'll probably be able to do with some open source software to make your phone, your computer into an answering machine and using, you know, your regular phone line as the interface. So they're somewhat useful.
Still.
Yeah, but not too useful. And there is an emergency. Like, once in a while, and it's happened, I've traveled or something's happened where the only way to get on was actually to plug in.
So you still use modems, but only when forced to?
It's the last resort. I think I'd rather have someone fax me binary or something.
And then translate by hand?
It's fine.
Well, wouldn't that be kind of up your alley to figure out how to do that?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I posted a story about a guy who was scanning in records, and he made a digital needle that actually looked at the photo of the record that he scanned in, and the digital needle would trace the grooves, and it would try to record the song, and it actually sounded pretty good.
I'd imagine you have a little static.
A little static, but, you know, no worse than playing a really crummy record.
And if you play it backwards, it says, dial-up is dead. Dial-up is dead.
I think it says the RIAA is coming after you because they think you're infringing on them somehow.
Even if you play it backwards?
Definitely. Definitely. I think they want to introduce a new tax on all music that you can only play it forward. If you play it backwards, you can get the backwards version, but it's going to cost you extra.
Yeah, to get the converter that flips it around, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So you're still fighting that fight. So what was the most interesting thing that you did on the flight over here to Walla Walla, Washington?
Well, it's only half over, but so far the neat thing was go on IRC. I had told people I was going to be online, so they were able to see my IP address and that I was actually coming from a plane when I logged on the IRC, which is a big chat system that a lot of people can see and view. I used iChat AV, which worked flawlessly, and the codec works fine, and even you know when there's connections that aren't as fast, it still does fine. I made a phone call with Skype using Skype out, so I was able to dial a real phone number. I did some experimentation. On the way back, I'm going to do more, but I did plug in my Airport Express, and I figured, hey, if this is going to be a pay service, what if I use my Airport Express? I got mine on. I paid for it. But then I gave everybody else on the plane, you know, for free. Or maybe I charge less. Maybe I have my own sign-up page, and they can pay me half. So I have to do some more testing, but it looks like it'll work out. So I don't know if I'll have the how-to up yet, because this isn't a release service. It's not real yet. But I think it's possible.
Or do you think you want to be invited on to any future Connection by Boeing flights that they might be doing?
Pretty sure this is going to be it. I'm pretty much a one-night stand type of participant.
Just in and out, that's it?
In and out, and then they read the stuff, and then, man, you just showed the secret sauce.
But you tip well.
Yeah, I tip fine. Let's see, what else did we do on the flight? I uploaded a bunch of photos to Flickr. That was fun. I posted to the Make Zine blog with Ecto. It's a blogging tool. And I checked my email, replied to a couple. You know, nothing really... The interesting thing is once you start using it, it becomes uninteresting because it's exactly like everything else. Being able to share the photos that we took of the mountain, that was kind of fun.
Did you get any video, too?
I got some video. And on the way back, I'm going to hopefully shoot some more video, too. And put that into our iTunes feed, because we can do that now.
How the hell did you figure that out?
Well, Apple didn't release documents when they released the podcasting spec, and they made up their own tags. And the neat thing that happened was a lot of people just started dragging in random documents into the iTunes window, and it looked like movies, MP4s, and PDFs worked. So through some experimentation, through some other people trying to figure this out too, it looked like you could put a PDF as an enclosure, just like you do with a podcast. And after one night of testing, looks like it worked out. So we're going to be distributing articles from Make Magazine directly to the iTunes feed. So anyone can get, you know, the articles that we release. They can get videos that we shoot, and they can get our new enhanced podcast that we've been working on, which is basically like a slideshow. That's a how-to that you... can download it and then see how to build something. And even the links to the parts to buy are in the podcast. And you can also look at it on an iPod Photo, or iPod Color now it's called, and look at the photos as they as the audio is played on your screen.
So you're the only one who's doing this at this point?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anybody's doing this right now with podcasts at all, and it's just because it's 1 week in. I think Apple has enhanced files that they've had that change the album artwork as it plays, but I'm pretty sure ours is the first example that does that, which is great. And we didn't just like release it and say, here, look at it. We actually released like a 20-page how-to, so we're hoping other people do it too.
It seems that, you know, obviously you're kind of hacking the system. Have you heard anything back from Apple about doing it?
Not yet. I did send them an email. There was like an email that was like chapter tool at Apple, and I'm like, hey, like here's our how-to, and here's what we built. What do you think? And I haven't heard back from them. Hopefully they'll like it, and maybe they'll like spotlight us or, you know, point people to that as a good resource.
Seems like a smarter man's BitTorrent, almost.
You know, it's interesting. I think at some point people will find distributing through iTunes is just easier. You just click one thing, it gets added to iTunes. Everyone's familiar with that interface and that application. If they could add some type of caching or BitTorrent, that would, you know, that would be the trifecta of distributing things. Hopefully they'll do that.
Now, where do you think other players fit into this scheme, like Real or Microsoft?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't heard a thing from Real in years. I feel bad for them. They've had, you know, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do something, and they're just not a player in the space. I don't know. I really don't know what they're up to. That's unfortunate. I think there's tons of opportunity to still get involved. You know, a lot of people maybe don't like the way Apple's doing podcasting. Microsoft has a huge opportunity to work with the community to figure out how to do this best. They can add podcast integration into MSN Spaces, into MSN Messenger. Right now, the players, unfortunately, I think for everybody who's not Apple, they need to fit around and with Apple. They need to support the same tags now, and the tags are called iTunes, which is, you know, kind of funny. But I think the players really need to, at some point, kind of all work the same way. And I don't think people are going to want to relearn something. But every day that goes by, and every time someone gets turned on to this free content and they're not using Real or Yahoo or Microsoft, that's going to be a really hard sale or conversion to do later. I mean, every single day I'm hearing less about the players and devices that don't involve iTunes. And this is just from me sticking my toe in the water. But there's people, I mean, I think you were saying, like, you're starting to use iTunes, unfortunately, because of what it does. But you know what? Kudos to Apple. It was really smart. And if you didn't use iTunes, now you have a reason to. So I think the other players have to move fast, maybe faster than ever before if they want to keep playing.
How do you think that's going to go, though? You've got Microsoft with their strong Windows Media brand. Of course, they sponsor the show that we do, which is kind of weird because we are one of the top podcasts in Apple's directory, and it's the only one that I know of that I see sponsored by Microsoft. So they're already kind of in the space. But the word that I've even had an issue with, how do you think that's going to play out? Do you think Microsoft's going to embrace the word podcast, or are they going to try to reinvent that and say, no, it's sync and go, or they come up with a completely different word that does the same damn thing?
Well, I think everybody still says, well, used to say, oh, what Xerox machine are we going to buy? And, you know, the brand is Xerox. So I don't think it matters. I think that RSS and XML and podcasting, these are terms that are going to be around from now and forever. And people are asking for them. Big brands are using them. I mean, just like last week, Pauly Shore has a podcast. So, you know, if you say something enough times, someone will believe you and think that's exactly what it is, and that's exactly where it's at. And this started from the community, and so all the documentation. And the other thing is it's catchy and people get it. I think that Microsoft's going to have to support it in some way. They're going to have to say, like, yeah, our thing does podcasting.
So it's almost like a side note.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things I tried to send out today to a list that has to do with Windows Media was, you know, hey, if you're going to do a Windows Media Player that supports podcasting, great, but do more. I mean, you've got a shot. Like right now, I mean, look at the fun things that we're doing with iTunes, which is PDFs and videos. I mean, you can do so much more. You've got, I mean, Microsoft has just so many services. You can do, like, Xbox trailers. You can, like, really, you can do Xbox scores. You can distribute little pieces of software. You could do so much. So don't just, like, do podcasting. Do something that makes people say, oh, yeah, podcast is just, like, a fun extra thing it does. But here's all the cool stuff.
But don't you think it's still, I mean, we lived this. We're in the middle of it. Isn't it still fringe for a lot of folks out there who barely understand how to use an iPod?
Yeah, I'll say it's never too late. I mean, you know, Google came along years after search engines. And, you know, next year there's going to be someone else that comes along that does something that everyone else did. They just figured out a better way to do it, faster, cheaper, got community involved or something. I think there's no permanence. There's nothing that keeps people in their position as number one all the time. Look, Apple came out of nowhere. I mean, they've been handing Sony their asses with the music player business for, like, years now. So we still have most of the country in the U.S. and most of the world who still hasn't turned on to downloading music or free podcasts or whatever, and the phones are finally getting better. So who knows? This might be a whole different world 2 years from now where everyone's using the latest phone to get all this stuff. And then now we're going to be talking about the carriers and what they support. So I think it's extremely early, but it's neat to see what's going on.
Right. It seems that the thing that holds, I think, the phones back is the carriers. So by kind of handing this to them on a silver platter, do you think that's necessarily the smartest thing? Seeing more and more phones, you know, like Nokia's, the N91 that has 4 gigabytes of storage, it's going to pretty quickly kind of outclass an iPod in the sense that it's an all-in-one device, convergence where it's smart convergence, instead of having an MP3 player and a cell phone and a camera and a this and a that.
Well, there's two parts of your question. I'll answer the second one first. Will people go to an all-in-one device? That'll be interesting. Like, right now, we really don't have anything that's exactly as good as an iPod. Apple seems to be moving towards having an iTunes client on phones, so maybe that'll be it. It'll be like a 4-gig phone. It'll have the same interface. Whether people want the Swiss Army knife that has every tool or whether they want individual things, that's something that is hard to predict, you know, what customers and consumers are going to do. Back to the other question, you know, I'm not quite sure the way carriers are going to handle this. Like, anytime carriers have been given something, they've screwed it up. They're anti-consumer. They lock us into contracts. They disable hardware, so you buy other services. Frankly, I think they're mostly criminal cartels. And I'm surprised there isn't more class action suits. I don't trust them, and I think that it'll be interesting to see how good or bad they do this. I mean, we've been hearing about 3G for 5 years, and it's finally trickling along. I mean, carriers, they spend thousands of dollars per acquisition of customers. They spend so much in marketing. So who knows if they're going to get this right. I don't trust them. But hopefully they'll see the opportunity. And if someone can make a simple phone that downloads your music, that manages all your life and everything with it, it'll sell just as well as an iPod.
Yeah, but there really is no space in this realm anymore. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a Google pop up in the cell phone world because you've got the major carriers and they've kind of locked everything else out, haven't they?
Well, there is the major carriers, but there is this new trend of these mobile virtual carriers. Like Virgin Mobile isn't actually a phone company. They license their spectrum from Sprint, so they're actually a Sprint phone. So these little tiny micro carriers can offer more. I'll go on record right now and say, I bet you Yahoo's going to do a Yahoo phone service one day, and it'll have everything about Yahoo, like Flickr and their music service and everything. It'll just be a branded Yahoo phone. They have all the things that are heading towards that direction. I think they're a lifestyle brand, so I think you might have the big carriers who don't get it, but then you'll have these little groups and these big companies that decide, hey, we want to be a phone carrier. Disney's going to do their own phone offering soon too, and so maybe they'll offer things that the carriers just don't get or just can't do.
What would be amazing to see, like, a WiMAX enabled phone so that no matter where you were or where you went, it wouldn't matter. Carriers are irrelevant. Do you think that's coming closer? How far in the future do you think we are to that kind of world where we can just completely eliminate the carrier?
Eliminate the carrier is hard because when you look at Wi-Fi, T-Mobile bought up a company that had Wi-Fi in all the Starbucks, so they are pretty good about protecting their long-term business goals. So I don't think we're ever going to get rid of carriers exactly. I think that in some countries you'll have services that work together that'll do collaborative billing. And I think that might even happen in the U.S., but I think it's going to be really hard to get rid of the carrier.
I don't know. I can get Skype on my pocket PC, and as long as I've got a Wi-Fi connection, I could use it. But that's the issue, is making sure you've got, you know, a connection.
Maybe we'll see a future where you never use your device as a phone, per se. It's an EVDO pocket PC, and you can use Skype on that as a phone all the time. I mean,
well, that would eliminate the need then for the carrier.
Well, they provide the EVDO, unfortunately, so they still got you. So they're still providing that high-speed data service.
Yes, but it's far less device contingent. You would be able to use any device to get on the network, any capable device of getting on any network. It would just be more competitive because you'd be able to go from network A to B with relative ease, well, assuming they don't lock you into contracts still.
Exactly. I mean, it'll be hard to tell how it's going to play out, but it would be nice to be able to pop in this magic card into whatever device you have and be able to go from network to network, and that's pretty much it. I think there's always going to be a way that someone's charging you $40 to $80 a month. I think that's never going to end for the rest of our lives. It's going to be yet another bill, too. But, you know, if you look at our household, we don't really use our home phone for anything. In fact, we use our cell phones, and I'm even using my cell phone less, and I'm using Skype for everything. So there's some displacement there. But, you know, who knows? Skype could be acquired one day, and now all of a sudden we're on someone else. Or Gizmo can be the next, you know, big voice over IP.
What do you think about Gizmo?
You know, so far so good. I haven't pounded on it enough like I have with Skype, but I will, and I'm going to be writing some how-tos on it. So you'll be able to see those on Make soon.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for making the trip.
There's nothing better than a talk on a bus ride.
Woohoo!
The Windows Media stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.